Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Let me turn this on silent.
It's very professional.
I have so many
here.
Calls coming in, so.
Set an alarm for 15 minutes, Siri.
15 minutes start.
The other day I called Siri. I said, hey Siri, bitch. And I said something and she's like, I will not respond to that.
What?
And that was the moment I realized Siri has more self-worth than I do. I was like, oh.
Damn.
Well. Okay, slut.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys, listen, we're here. We're queer and the town is burning. Alyssa Yeoman's back.
I'm back.
She's back. We have a feeling I had a deep conversation last time you were on.
Like 7 years ago.
I know.
It was like back. Oh, wait. No, we had the one in between too.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah,
wait.
Yeah.
Did we do another podcast in between? No, you came over and we never recorded.
Oh, no. Wait. I thought we did one in the house you had with the flower background. Dropped? Did we do? Or was that with Ariana?
That was with Ariana.
Oh right.
You guys remember Ariana? Yeah. She was just on a couple weeks ago, probably by the time this comes out.
Love the callbacks. but yeah, I guess that was a long time ago. It was just in a
shitty condo in Seattle.
Yeah.
I feel like there was no ambiance set, but we were in a dark place.
It was before it mattered. You didn't have to be seen
for a
podcast.
There was no camera. It's also I keep turning this camera on, and half the reason I have commercial breaks. Which, by the way, this is the first episode where I was like, why am I putting on makeup? why am I trying? Because I'm trying to build my YouTube, but like most of the podcast is listeners, and I think they get sick of me talking about, if you guys could see this. And it's like, oh, I'm doing my hair for the 45 people that are gonna watch probably 2 seconds and go, I'm on the wrong channel.
What?
Yeah, it's like I filmed the whole thing just to get a clip and was whatever.
You got to get the clips though.
We live in hell.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We both start sobbing.
Yeah.
So Alyssa is now in Los Angeles.
I am.
You've been here for a while.
Since September. Yeah, so it was not too far.
I guess it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
It feels
like a year already.
Yeah, yeah. It's been 3 weeks that feel like a decade.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so listen,
I'm new to LA.
How are you liking the transition to Los Angeles?
I think I'm like a sicko because I love it.
Really?
I'm
even now.
I mean, with it on fire. No, that's been fucking tragic. But I do like LA. I like the culture.
That'll fade. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, everybody's like, people are scary about moving to LA.
They definitely are. People put it on this like weird pedestal. Okay, listen. Again, I'm explaining something out loud that you guys can't see. I'm taking my shoes off because I'm going to cross my legs.
Okay.
But I should warn you, I historically sometimes have very stinky feet. So if you start to smell them, tell me and I'll put the shoes back on.
If I throw up, I'm like, if you guys can see this, I'm puking right now. rancid in here.
Just cuts out. Yeah. I didn't need to tell you guys that. It's like Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like, especially if you're in entertainment, it feels like it's like, okay, this is the final boss almost.
Yeah. People give a lot of like cryptic, condescending advice whenever you're like leaving to LA.
People who never went or didn't make it
like
home.
Or something like that. Or like, you know.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be afraid if it takes a while to like build your life there.
It takes like 3 years to even feel like you've been in the city.
Truly.
That's advice all of I
that.
Got.
And I'm like, it's fine. I moved around a lot growing up, so there's that. But I was like, I knew I wanted to live here before the entertainment thing came into the picture.
Really? You just knew?
Yeah, I like came here when I was like I don't know. It was probably partially because I was at Disney World, but I was, or
yeah,
land.
I
Disneyland.
Remember being like, yeah. That's why I wanted to live in Florida before I found out about Disneyland. I was like, yeah. Well, I'll just go to Disney every
day. Just live at Universal Studios. This is easy enough. Yeah, but I came here as a kid and was declared I was like going to move here. And then I was like, which is a cute story now that I live here.
That is cute.
If I never came here, I would never be able to tell anybody.
You would not tell a soul.
No.
You're like, no, as a child, I declared I would live in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly where I wanted
to be. We came here by mistake, and I said, this is where I belong.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like as a kid, I did the same thing. I was, right. I was like, I'm going to live in L.A., maybe New York.
Yeah.
But at that point, I didn't know why. It was just like, not Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, truly.
Tell you where we're not going to stay.
Yeah.
Good old AK.
I had a big Chicago phase in high school where I was like, I'm going to live in Chicago. Like, I'm meant to be in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, I had a, I don't
why?
Know.
Why? Because of the musical Chicago?
I think I found out it was Gotham City.
It is? I'm I thought New York was Gotham.
No, I was, and
I'm going to Chicago immediately.
Exactly. I think Gotham's technically modeled after Chicago. Oh. So. And not that I'm even a Batman head.
Yeah, I was like,
I was like,
know.
This is when I come out.
You
no.
were big into Batman.
I just was like, you know the weird shit you latch onto when you're a teen?
Oh,
you're like,
yeah.
That matters.
Where you're like, Blink-182 is my personality now.
Oh, yeah, I definitely was there.
Yeah. Those sons of bitches.
They got me, yeah.
They
I still
me.
Will go hard on Blink at karaoke. So.
Have you ever seen them live?
No.
Me neither, and I really want to before they fully stop touring.
I know. I even tried to listen to the new album, and I was like, this isn't good, but, like, also go. Like, I'd still faint if I met Travis Barker, probably.
Yeah, I would probably faint and shit my pants.
Exactly.
Like, sorry, I love you.
Exactly. Go full, like, my fucking emo bangs grow back immediately.
Oh, my God. Emo bangs. Yeah. Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. So...
Okay, so you moved here from Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Was it hard leaving Seattle, or were you like, bye, bitch, I'm ready to go?
I was ready to go.
Yeah.
Because I was ready. This is like 2018, declared to everybody, I'm moving to LA. And then
you made an announcement.
And then multiple times.
6 years later. Well, there was a pandemic.
There's a pandemic.
Okay. So when you declared that, when you stood, I assume, on the stage of an alternative open mic in downtown
it
Seattle.
It was actually
or something.
The top of the Space Needle. So fuck you for that.
Oh, you declared to the whole city.
Yes. Exactly.
Like a Batman villain. Exactly. You
it's full circle.
Went to the top of the Space Needle and were like, people of Seattle, I will leave you.
Yeah. Don't tip me.
And they're like, I think she's going to jump.
They're like, please do. oh my God. That's how I ended up here. But
the winds just carried you.
It took a while. But yeah, I was like, I knew I wanted to live here, but then stuff just kept coming up. And I was broke. So
LA is hard to come to with money. I mean, I don't know what money is.
Yeah.
Because
I've never seen it.
I know when I moved out here, I thought, this is enough money.
Yeah.
And it was immediately gone.
Yeah.
I really, like, I came out with maybe, I had a couple grand saved, like $3,000 or $4,000. And I was like, this will be a couple months of rent. I can get my feet going. And it's just all the fucking expenses of every little thing you have to do.
And nesting, all that shit. There's so many tasks when you move. And so many things come up that you're like, I didn't budget for this.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I drove across the country. Didn't factor that in at all. Driving from Florida to California.
You were like, gas.
Staying at hotels. Like, surely this won't impact my budget. I mean, hotel is a loose word. They were very seedy motels. But yeah. I was like, we're saving money. And we did not save enough. And that was when rent was like, a quarter of the fucking price.
Yeah, I was about to say the idea even now. I'm like $2,000. I was like, that's maybe a month's rent, if that.
Yeah. No, foolish. Yeah. At the time, I was moving in with a girl I had met a couple times in Tampa who already lived out here.
Love that.
She was a cokehead.
Surprise.
Come to find out, LA is a great place for people who love cocaine, which is fine. It was weird when she would judge my food choices after doing a bump and be like, that's not organic. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, is that pure Colombian cocaine?
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up, bitch. But like my rent, God, we were in a two bed, two bath, two and a half bath, laundry and unit.
Shit.
A central AC, parking. We had tandem parking. And I think I was paying 800. We were splitting. It was 1600 bucks. I never should have left that fucking apartment.
Well, I mean, that apartment, unless it's rent control, probably costs so much more now.
Twice the amount now. Yeah. Minimum. It's just fucking crazy how quickly. I guess it's been a while.
Right.
I've been here a long time.
Yeah, officially, I feel like.
Yeah, it'll be
into Angeleno.
That's
territory.
What I was thinking about that today. Yeah. Like, how long do you have to live somewhere before you go, I'm from here?
Right.
Like, do you ever give up where you're from? Where do you say you're from?
Do you
claim Alaska?
I do sometimes. I like kind of half and half because I do feel like it's split between Texas and Alaska because I spent so much time in each place.
I was in Mississippi before Alaska, so I'm always it's a long story.
Yeah, exactly. So I always kind of give both of those as like kind of anchor points because I feel like I have most people there. But then I ended up living in Washington for a long time, so now I have a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And yeah, who knows?
Now we're in LA.
And now we're in LA. Yeah.
And I've lived here for an eternity.
Back in my day, rent was $800.
I mean, how sad that's nostalgic. And at the time, I was like, how will I afford this?
Oh my gosh. I'd go back in time and be like, fucking learn to code, bitch.
Yeah, I know. Get a degree in PR. What are you doing, dipshit?
Yeah, become a surgeon and then decide to do comedy.
Yeah, then have kooky stories about all your surgeries.
Yeah, people will love that shit.
And even if not, you can do them at private events. Other surgeons will love it. You know when you fall asleep in the middle of a surgery?
I'm a surgeon surgeon.
I'm a surgeon surgeon. Surreal surgeon surgeon is so funny.
What can I say?
Oh, you ever leave a scalpel in someone?
Kills it every time.
The patient also dies. But I don't know how we got here.
I don't either. We went down the rabbit hole.
We did. Okay. So
you asked me about living in LA and then we ended up the surgeons.
In a schizophrenic dissociation. So you've been here since September. Okay, wait. I want to back up because you announced in 2018 I will be moving to Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then obviously, like, the pandemic happened. Like, what kept you? How bad was it in Seattle in terms of lockdown and people being?
I mean, it was wild. I mean, it was ground zero. So there was that.
I forgot.
Yeah.
About that.
We were.
You guys did this to us. Turn on you over 2020.
Exactly. And it was just a weird time in my life. I had just decided to switch careers before this, like 9-to-5 careers, I guess.
Oh, wait, what were you doing? What were your 9-to-5? What's the 9-to-5?
What is a 9-to-5
situation?
Yeah.
Besides a great song by Dolly Parton. But
hell yeah. I was working in nonprofits and then I was like,
You're like, I want profits.
Exactly. And I was doing a lot of comedy stuff. So I was like, oh, let me like kind of do like maybe marketing UX stuff, whatever. Something like that.
Wait, okay. For the listeners who don't know, not because I'm stupid. What is UX?
Like user experience.
Oh.
Yeah, so like creating like how a website looks or flows for people to use.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what UX is. I just didn't know the term.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess I didn't know what it was. All right. I'm stupid.
You're engaging with it every day. Yeah. But I was like, oh, I'm going to do this like boot camp program, come out and like get a tech job and just like make some money. And yeah, the program ended like March, 2 weeks before the program's over. They were like, hey, we have to do this from home. There's this little thing called COVID happening. Should be over in 2 weeks.
I remember they were like, we'll all lock down for 2 weeks.
We're just going to chill for 2 weeks.
It'll be gone. And then it was 2022 and they're like, we don't know.
We have no fucking clue what's happening. Yeah. And so then I graduated into the pandemic and then, yeah, I ended up staying there. I also fell in love. So that also kept me there. So there's a little bit of that.
Love is a bitch.
Love is a bitch. Yeah, that's... fucking real. And then then the pandemic happened and then we moved in together and we're like, okay, we're saving some money now.
Which is the right reason to move in together.
Yeah, exactly. And we lived there. And then we were planning a wedding. So then it was like, well, let's stay till after the wedding. And so like things just kept
things keep coming up. I think that happens for a lot of people in different things. But especially when it comes to like, I guess I would be like, it's a move, but it's also following a dream. So it's just always like these little like markers of, but you did it.
And I wanted to wait till it made the most sense for my career. So I do feel like it kind of did end up aligning well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you come to here though in your career. Like my career now is like partying at my friend's shows, hoping meeting other comics,
hoping to being bump like, into I'm somebody. Yes. And have someone else go, she's funny, you should book her. And you're like, I'm making it.
Exactly. So my career looks like that now, but I'd rather be doing that than I miss the tons of stage time in Seattle.
Yeah. But it's like there's a ceiling in every smaller scene where you are kind of like, okay, this is the most I could do here.
Yeah.
And do I want to keep doing this or do I want to see what more I could do?
Yeah, it's time. I was like, I need to level up. I had a lot of friends. Speaking of Ariana, Ariana was one of the catalyst friends who was literally looked me in the eye and was like, you should not be in Seattle anymore. I was like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, just literally, she was like, yeah, it's time for you. You have done everything.
It's time to spread your wings.
And I'm like, but...
God damn it. Okay, wait. We're going to talk more about, just that whole awakening right after this quick break. We're back and we're better than ever.
Yes.
I want to talk to you. I wanted to keep going on what we were saying, but to be honest, I got completely sidetracked because we kept chatting when the recording stopped.
Kind of wild.
We never stopped.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm also really realizing I've inadvertently had I front loaded this year on the podcast with multiple Seattle comics because I just recorded one with Ariana. I had Justin Clark.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, is he even a Seattle comic or he's just from Seattle?
I think he's just from Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gravitating toward all the people who have lived in the rain.
Yeah.
People with a dark sadness that makes us so funny.
So true.
But are you experiencing, we were talking about this a little bit off the air, but how are you experiencing LA people, like networking?
I am.
So what do you do? When people ask, how are you? They want to go, what are you working on? But they just go, how are you?
Yeah.
Are you famous enough for me to be talking to?
Yeah, exactly. I am experiencing that. I'm experiencing it in the form of like, oh, what's your plan? Or like, what's your plan? Or what did you come to LA to do? I also I have fun networking in a way too.
Well, but when you don't think about it, I used to be told when I first got here and I was more energetic and enthused, which sidebar, invite me when you're going. I mean,
oh yeah.
Unless I'm a buzzkill and then never tell me and just keep pretending not invite me. But I just am out of the loop. I feel like on local stuff because I've done the road so much, but I'm down to hang. I want to go out more.
Okay.
But I remember early on people being like, you're so good at networking. And I'm like, I'm not networking. I'm hanging out.
That's exactly.
I'm friendly.
I'm friendly.
It's like, I don't walk in with an agenda and go, so how can you help my career?
Right. I think I'm blessed because I also don't recognize people. Like,
same.
I'm a person who someone will walk past and I'll just be like, it will not faze me.
No.
I'll be like, they look kind of familiar. And it'll literally be, I'm like one of those idiots. Like, did I go to high school with them?
No.
Like,
oh, my God.
I'm like taking it too far back.
I think I know them.
Yeah, exactly.
I met my first, like, I was here maybe a month and a half. And I was at my manager's at the time. I had a manager. I had no business having a manager. And he had no business being one, if we're being honest. But I was at my manager's birthday party.
Yeah.
And we happen to share the same birthday. So he's like, well, you don't have any friends or anything to celebrate. So it can be both our birthdays, but no one will care.
Yeah.
But his client at the time was, did you ever watch the show Greek?
I think so. Yeah.
Was the brunette, like funny guy, Scott Michael Foster is his name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
I only know his name because I'm sure he's a very accomplished actor, but again, I don't know anything. I knew it because he happened to be my manager's one. Man, he was clinging to that client.
Yeah.
He's repping him and then me, and I've been here for a week doing open mics. It's like, what's going on? But he was dating Donna from That 70s Show.
Oh my gosh. Laura
Prepon? Prepon?
Yeah,
I don't know how to say it.
Orange is the New Black now, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah, but at the time, I don't think that was out yet.
No, she was in a lull.
And I think she was...
No offense.
No, I mean, she was enjoying her money, she was probably. I think she was blonde at the time, too, so maybe that threw me off.
Blonde era, yeah.
But
I'm so hot.
I got introduced to her, and she's like, hi, yeah. I'm Laura. And I was like, I'm Jessica. Have we met before? And she's like, I don't think so. And I was like, okay. And it wasn't like a, have I met you, Donna? From it was just like, got it. She must look like someone. That's what I thought. I was like, she must look like someone I went to school with.
Yes.
And it took me a few days before I was like,
you're like, fuck.
Oh, that was Donna from that 70s show.
Yeah.
But I think it helps because it makes you not, I never know the like line of, are they like, oh, cool, this person isn't trying to just hang out with me because they think I'm famous. But then you are dealing with actors and people who, you know, are known, and I don't think it's universal, but known to have egos. So are they kind of like, do you want, fuck you?
Do they want the
flattery? You don't know who I am?
You know what's so funny? I was at the Comedy Store, and a comedian, very famous, who I respect and really like, was in the small back bar area. I was hanging out there, and I like immediately noticed. I will make, that was like a occasion I was like, oh my God, that's who I think it is.
Oh yeah, big comedians. And then one time I saw Pink. She was at the Comedy Store for a fundraiser, and I was like,
yeah,
oh my God, it's Pink.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, that would be so fucking cool. But I do the thing anyway where we like, we make awkward eye contact a couple times, but I feel like it was awkward for me because I was like, oh shit, I just made eye contact, but I think I was still playing it cool. Anyway, I end up over by,
cut to you, you're like,
I know, I'm drooling out of my mouth. No, I'm over by his assistant, talking to his assistant and a couple other friends in the area. And then she asked me if I'm a comic. He's like right on the other side of her. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm a comedian. And I was like, oh, are you a comedian? Because I didn't know that was his assistant at the time.
Yeah.
She was like, oh no, I'm his assistant. And I had, my first inkling was to be like, who is he? But then I was like, I don't know if that's funny. Like, yeah. I was like, don't say fucking anything.
Yeah.
I just went, oh, okay. Because I wasn't going to be like... Yeah, because I was like, I could make that joke, but then if it doesn't land,
it bombs,
I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then it's like, also, if, not even that, like, if it's not funny, like, if they don't understand you're kidding, because I once, to Tiffany Haddish, who I've known for years, we did a festival in Cabo San Lucas together, like, before she blew up, just, whatever, you know what, you know, not, we were never super close, but it was just someone, you know, when we saw each other in the scene, hey, how are you, that kind of thing. And if, of course, she blew up, and I hadn't seen her in it was probably like a year and a half after like Girls Trip, and she just fucking exploded, was having a killer year. And I saw her at the Improv. She's like, hey girl, how are you? And like, we're like, and I was like, oh, I'm so good. She's like, you're doing good, like, is everything going well? And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, I went, how about you, have you been up to anything, or how's it, is everything okay with you? And I don't think she thought I was kidding, like, I was trying to be like, I haven't seen you in a while. Are you still doing this? You
know?
And I think she just was like, fuck you. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
sorry.
Like, you don't know my sense of humor.
And you don't know the, I mean, we're such a volatile species. I mean.
Because you can hit me with that on the wrong day, I'll be pissed. On the right day, I'm like, wow, love that person. They got me.
Dude, that's why we know. That's why we're connected. And then other days, you're like, I never liked that fucking bitch. I don't trust her.
Exactly. I'm like, so moody. So moody.
It's such a shit show.
Yeah.
Trying to navigate like that on top of everything else. And wondering if you said something on a day that someone would let it roll off their shoulders, or something small that they're going to hold on to for the rest of their life.
Exactly. Yeah. He was also like being hawked by like two other comedians who were like trying to keep him engaged in conversation.
That gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah. So I also didn't want to like add to that by being like, hey, here's another person in the room who wants your attention.
Yeah. And it's like, he's in the back bar probably hoping to escape that.
Literally does not want to be seen. Just
when
like
I
have
that,
a drink and hang out.
I mean, there's so many moments like that where I'm like, read the fucking room.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say always, because sometimes it is a comedian who I'm like, you should know better.
Okay.
But then other times it's like, well, this is why you're not doing well in comedy. You can't read a room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because watching people just.
It's so funny. It's like just the natural I love just sitting back. Maybe this is also why I'm good at networking. It's so funny to watch like people come in and watch people like literally like hierarchy themselves.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like where do I
figure out the
in?
Pecking
like,
yeah. order?
Exactly. And I really one, I'll never do that because I'm like, if we vibe, whether you're like we're on the yeah,
say we've been doing the same amount of time, you could be in like brand new.
You could
or
be
you
doing it
20 veteran.
Years.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm like, if we vibe, we vibe because I'm not going to be for everyone to begin with. And yeah. I'd rather it be like built on like an organic or like real connection.
Yes.
But I just love watching because comedians do it so bad. We're all just like, yeah, so many. We're all thirsty. People are trying to work in entertainment. We're
I know.
To do this,
and so
that's
it's just
part of it now, too. So
yeah. And there is that part of it that's like, if you overthink it, if you're like, I mean, we're just hanging. It'd be cool to be friends with this person. But also, like, what if I say something so funny that they're like, I got to right. keep my eye on this one.
Yes.
But then you watch people, like, trying to be funny in front of someone that they, like, look up to.
Yeah.
And it's, which it isn't bad. But it like, if you could tell that you're trying.
I feel like in any, like when I first started comedy, I loved meeting other comedians and like being in riff circles. I think sometimes it can be hard. The longer you do comedy, riff circles, I'm like, the intention behind the riff circle.
Yeah, it's like, are we just having a fun conversation where because we're all comedians, we can bounce quickly and it's fun? Or is someone trying to be like, look how funny I am.
Look at how funny I am. Or someone, or everybody trying to impress like the one person who everybody thinks is the funniest. So it's like, you have to be selective in your riff circling.
Yeah.
In that way.
God, you ever get caught in, where you're like, oh, I'll just try to do a casual, hey, how you guys doing? And then you get caught in that with people. You're like, this is a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah. I'm like, I literally came over here to ask what you were reckoning with. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care about your jokes right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The world is dying. Listen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Just talking about how professional the setup is here at good old, you called it JMS Studios.
Yeah, just throwing out some names for you.
Just, yeah, the room where my boyfriend finally gets some peace because I go in here.
Yeah. It's actually a crate.
Yeah, we are in the closet.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
Fuck. What was I just going to ask you about? Well, this is fun. Speaking of relationships, I don't know if that was actually said after we started or before.
I think we're talking about rarely. Yeah, yeah.
But whatever. Okay, so in your, this has just become your story of your LA journey. I didn't mean for that to happen, but okay. You, part of your, like, one of the hurdles, you know, you fell in love, got married.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are in LA.
In LA.
Married.
Yes.
Doesn't it sound
like,
odd silence?
Yeah.
People don't do that here. No.
Yeah.
Is your partner? What am I? 85? Whatever. I don't know.
Spouse.
To call people.
Yeah.
Spouse.
That's I've been using spouse.
Hubba bubba.
I don't
do you ever
like
call
husband.
Him hubby?
Oh, fuck no.
My man.
No, I never say that. Like, I like will use husband when I'm like literally just trying to like pass and straight. Spaces.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my fucking strong husband.
And
like,
I'm so proud to be a wife.
Yeah.
And we love it. And it's totally like everything you saw in the movies in the 40s.
Yeah, totally.
Fuck, what was I going to say? What industry is your spouse in?
Yeah, he's a data engineer. So
data engineer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tech.
Does he do like 9 to 5?
Yeah. Works from home.
How is that for you guys? Because that, and I say that as someone who's also in a relationship with someone who is in a 9 to 5, but it's technically in the comedy space. So he's like involved in the industry and he does go out to stuff. That can be so difficult. How are you finding it?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that my partner has the background of doing comedy.
Yeah.
So he did comedy for quite a while.
Okay.
And like, I met him and he was still like doing more film stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And so I like, he has like enough knowledge about comedians to understand like when I'm like, this is what's happening or
this is the scene. Yeah.
He's actually a really good writer. I wish he would like write my jokes for me. So that's where we're at now.
Oh
me
my
trying
God.
To be like ghostwrite for me because I'm a fucking idiot. I'm like, people are not going to want to listen about dicks forever. What am I going
to
do?
So, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to. God, I have to get a hobby or something.
Yeah, truly.
Oh my God. My boyfriend's currently listening to this going, say that you want me to ghostwrite for you.
Yeah.
She would
like. You can ghostwrite for me.
He wishes like, I would be like, you should write all my jokes. He'd be like, I knew it.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, yeah, I spend a lot of time out. I actually feel like I spend more time out of the house than he does. Obviously, he works from home. But I think I'm like annoying. So there's that.
What do you mean? You're like, it's good for me to get out.
Well, yeah. And also I'm like, if same way it was in an office, like if you're my coworker, we're yapping.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm a nightmare.
I am.
It's also comedy has broken my brain in a way where it's like, God forbid my career crumbles and I have to go back to a nine. I can't already.
And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm even good enough at comedy to already be like, I can't go back to the office.
No, you're
I
so funny.
I need other skills. But,
like, I can't. It's also the way that so many companies are like, we have an open floor plan so that we can all connect. It's like, no, bitch. Shut your cheap ass up. Give me a fucking office. I can't be out loose.
Yeah,
among
true.
The rest of the employees.
If you want to see productivity go down, let me loose in an open air office.
Because
I'll be
yeah.
like, you should quit. They don't respect you here. Literally. I'm like,
start a revolution. You're planting seeds of doubt around the office.
Truly. That's what I'm good for, is empowering employees.
Which is so bad for business.
Exactly. And that's why I cannot get hired anywhere. So,
empowerment. Toss her resume in the trash.
Exactly. They shred it. I don't know where they got a shredder.
Works well with others, not in our company.
Exactly.
They're going to revolt.
Truly. So I'm like, we have a joint office. That's how we decided to do it.
You share an office?
Yeah. In our old place, when we were living up in the Northwest, we had a great, huge house, like 3 bedrooms. So we each had our own office, which was like kind of the ideal. My office had a bed in it and a desk. His, just like a desk, a nice couch.
I'm writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't question the process. So, you're just masturbating, crying, sleeping. You write, I need to write more, and then go back to bed.
Truly, because that is my process. And then, like, I'll be up for, like, a day or two straight and, like, have the best idea and go for it. So
it's so... The hours, trying to, like, not fuck up his... I don't want to fuck up his circadian rhythm, but then sometimes the inspiration comes at, like...
Yeah.
Fuck whole o'clock. I come home from a late ass set and I'm like, I have all these ideas.
Exactly. Yeah, truly. And I'm such a night owl. So he's also like a very loner person. So he doesn't care. But then I'm like, oh, I won't see you if I don't, you know. So
yeah, I have to make the effort. Or
so we both are. Yeah. But it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. You know? Fine.
It's chill. I have a pretty chill marriage. I'm thankful for that. So
really? That's
I do. Yeah.
That's so nice to hear, because all you ever hear are the, like, I mean, I guess people are either talking when they're like manically at the beginning of love or when it's falling apart, and then everything in between is just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, chill is good.
Chill is good. We definitely have those. I've had those moments for sure, because I always will have that. I'm a romantic. I mean, I'm like,
where
I
you're like,
crazy.
Make love to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my boyfriend is just the poor man. Is riddled with the emotional weight of me being like, we should hold each other more. Like, and he's like, I love you. I just need to breathe.
Yeah.
I just, not when I'm actually
asleep.
You're
like, can I get into your skin?
I know. I think it has to, like, you need that balance.
You have to have
like,
a balance.
Like, two people who are like my boyfriend who need all their space would just never be together.
Mm.
They would just, there would be no chemistry. But then if you got two fucking, I feel like it's always the comedian.
Yeah.
Like, two people who are like, love, romance, it would be so toxic. And
I love toxic, though.
Me too.
Yeah, I love
That's
it.
Been a balance. This is the healthiest relationship I've ever had.
Mm.
And it's there are moments where I have to, like, remind myself that it's not boring. It's calm. Like, which, I mean, it's like if you're bored, you're bored. But
I have to
take a second and go, oh, because he's not screaming doesn't mean... It's not love.
It's not passionate. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Toxic?
Mm. I am toxic, though. So
you are toxic?
I think I'm like, yeah, a little bit. I'm like a little toxic for toxic. Like T for T in that way.
profile on Grindr.
The ultimate gender toxic, you know?
Exactly. What do you identify as toxic?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wait, tell me about your toxicity. What do you mean?
I feel like, so this year it kind of hit me. I am ethically non-monogamous, I will say that. So I want to talk about this. A slut, yeah. But I do not want to be associated with that or that to be my label. But that's like, I'm just letting people know that I still date around.
Is that I'm just putting it out there. For people
who's trying to
find anyone who's listening, any toxic?
I don't know why I gave two fiddle fingers, but I was like, that felt right. But it was an invite, but I wanted to just, you know, protect myself.
Ethically non-monogamous. Yeah. It's such a fucking mouthful.
It's a mouthful.
No pun intended.
Yeah. But I've just always been open. I'll just say, I like saying open, but people are like, what does that mean? And I'm like, open, you know?
It sounds so loose that it's like, what is that?
Yeah.
Open to new ideas?
Yeah, truly, though. Experiences.
Really? Okay. Are you down to talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I brought it up, but I'm like, actually
open.
Cut.
Imagine I'm open, but not to discussion.
That is the one thing. But I have been having these moments because I was thinking about like being toxic this year in general. So I'm like, one, I was like, I think, like, am I a love bomber? I think I might be a love bomber.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
I do, yeah.
It feels so good in the beginning. That, like, I don't want to say, like, love bombing feels good, but I always wonder, there's also, I feel like words are thrown out so much now, like mm-hmm. labels. And rightfully so. You want to identify.
Labels, though, yeah.
Like, obviously, you're open.
True.
The ethically non-monogamous person hates labels. I can't believe it.
I did get called the CEO of Situationships the other day. And I was like, oh my God, I hate myself.
That's kind of iconic, though.
I know. I was like, I've got to own it. This is where the toxicity is coming
in. Yeah, where you're like, I should lean into this.
Yeah, I was like, I need a brand. I'm in
LA
now.
You get a pimp hat.
What's my plan?
Yeah, what's your plan? Who are you?
Exactly.
That's the thing. I feel like people also, people want to just put you into a box. So, like,
exactly.
What's the box I can put you in?
Exactly.
And I do feel like for the industry, so many people on like the opposite side of the business who like work in like management and agency, like, they find it helpful if they can whittle you down into you're the this.
Yeah.
Like if you refer to yourself as a CEO of Situationships, some manager or agent's going to see that and
go,
we're going to get this. This is the next love line.
Yes.
We got to money.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Look, call me.
But like, the thing about love bombing is, and as I say this, I go, maybe this is the moment I go, I've been a love bomber all along. Like, how do you identify love bombing versus, like, it sucks to not, there has to be the seed of doubt there are these, like, actually toxic, like, people who maybe will try to use that to, like, flip it and take advantage of you or whatever. But how does anyone separate that from, like, I guess this is just a crazy connection.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I've never gone into something like calculatedly being like, I'm going to tell them they're great. I'm going to fucking big them up and make them feel good so that they'll do anything I want. You know, it's never like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it.
You're like, it is.
It is. Yeah, no, I walk in now. I think for me, what made me wonder if this is something I do is I was like, am I idealizing? Am I like caught up in the fantasy of this person?
Of like who I think they are. And so let me tell you. Sorry, go ahead. No, go.
I was about to say.
Bouncing all over you.
I was about to say, it's who I think you are. So then I'll have to stop myself and then I'll take the step back and, you know, try to differentiate. It's also hard for me to feel like a crazy connection with someone. So I will say I get obsessed with people though.
Yeah, me too.
In general.
Even friends.
Yes. I'm so that person.
That's toxic.
If I like you, I'll be like, oh my God, we should be friends. Like, I want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, just get lost in that world with a friend or something like that. So, or with anyone. But I think that's the differentiation for me. So, and then I'm like, if I'm idealizing the person, I'm like, oh, am I love bombing them right now? Because am I saying this stuff because I know this about them or because I like
want it to be true?
True.
Oh my God, you're so brilliant. You're so sexy. They're disgusting and stupid.
I've known
you for 5 minutes and I already feel. I mean, the way it's so easy to like put someone on a pedestal based off like a brief interaction. And that's what's so hard is, I mean, how much of heartbreak is us being let down by the made up assumptions we had about people?
But like the sick part of me, I love heartbreak. I am a freak, dude. I am like,
quote it. I am a freak.
I am the freakiest of freaks. Yeah. Because I'm like, as much like to me, that like obsession and like flash is like worth it. And like the
to
inspiration
feel.
To feel. And the inspiration from heartbreak is like none other. I feel like there's no drug greater.
I've never hit the ground running more. In my every, if you could look at a scale, there's no way to do this, but like where it measured every peak moment I've had in my career, I would say most, if not all of them, came on the heels of a breakup.
Yeah, I had
where
been
I just was like manic
destroyed.
Energy, and it was like, I'll show you. It's like I broke up with them. Why am I? And also, I'll take over the world. I write one joke, and I'm like, it's pretty good.
I love it.
Yeah, dude, feelings are an addiction.
Yeah, they truly are.
It's like, and as much as I don't want, like, I don't consciously think I want to feel the shitty feelings, I do definitely get like sucked into them. I definitely have like a part of me identifies with sadness where I just go, like, this is who I am. Things are, I'm not kidding. My sweet boyfriend is going through a rough time right now.
Yeah.
I won't go into details, but it's the first time I've ever seen him like having like just emotional struggles. He's in a rough patch. Just life, you know?
Yeah.
And as a joke the other day, I was like, oh, you seem like you're really sad. He's like, I am. And he was like, he made a joke about like, this men aren't allowed to, this is why men kill themselves, whatever. Ha ha ha.
You got to be there.
it was funny at the time, but, we were in a group of friends. It wasn't just us. So it was like vibing. And he's like, I don't understand. You're sad all the time. Let me be sad. And I wasn't telling him to not be sad, but my friend goes, well, that's why you can't be sad. You can't both be sad. Exactly. And I was like, what a nightmare for him.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then I was like, am I sad all the time? Am I sad all the time? Like, I got sad about being sad. I was like, oh, I'm a fucking idiot.
I have to go home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have another friend who is chronically depressed.
Mm.
Comedians. But she's said this, and I've heard this, something to this effect of like, I'm grateful that I feel so sad because it means I can feel. And I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far.
But like, I wish I could feel less. I wish my, because I'm like nose blind. I can barely smell. I've always been like that.
Okay.
That's how I wish I felt sometimes.
Really?
But like,
yeah.
But no, I fucking eagle eyes with my sadness.
Oh, yeah.
And and opposite emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I'm someone who will, like, no matter what, I will, like, always be lonely. Like,
you're like, it's an authentic feeling, but also is so dramatic.
It's so dramatic. But it's, like, so true. I'm like, in my mind, I don't know maybe I listen to too much rap. I don't know where it came from. But, like, I'm like, there's a part of me that's, like, always going to feel like an island. And I'm like, I'm into that. I'm like, I have to kind of own that. Even if it's a little, it's like a little shadowy. I feel like people feel like it's shadowy to be sad.
Yeah, but it's also like
yeah, it's real.
I think it's better to own it.
Yeah, because I'm like, that's what makes good art, that everybody is like, oh, I relate to this, because you're like, oh, they get this piece of me.
Yeah, you address the thing that we're all not addressing.
Exactly. So, yeah, I feel like there's part of me that's always like going to be in that space. I think that also connects back to why I like to be open too.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So
are you willing to get into any juiciness about being open?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, this is where the regular episode ends. And you guys have to go over to punchup.live/JMS. It doesn't cost anything. You just have to sign up to follow me. And the hot, juicy openness, or maybe terrible nightmare. We don't know what's coming.
I have no idea what I'm gonna say.
It's a loose cannon over here. We're open. She's open. Is anyone listening? I'm not open, Nate. Okay. Do that. Wait, before we go to that, I always forget to tell people to plug stuff here.
Yes. You can find me online @AlyssaYo on Instagram. And I'm still on TikTok. for now.
She's fighting the good fight. Yeah. Take that, China. And
yeah, whatever. I don't know what the fuck's happening. Alyssa Yeoman.mp4. And then, yeah, AlyssaYeoman.com for info.
For all the info, go see her live. Go follow her. It'll all be, it's plugged in the show notes. So just scroll and click and follow her. And then go over to punchup.live for these juicy open stories. That concludes this week's episode of Ignorance is Blessed. I hope you enjoyed the guest. Do you have follow-up thoughts, follow-up questions? Get in the Facebook group and start a conversation. Ignorance is hashtag blessed idiots on Facebook. You can search for it or find it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JMS comedy. There you can have a chat about this guest. You can ask about future guests. You can suggest future guests. I love it all. Please keep giving suggestions and keep asking questions, because the more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thank you for listening. And thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.